good morning, Bridgewater. How are you doing? I want to welcome those who are watching online. I'm so glad that you're joining us today.
I took a week off last week, stayed home, and did, I'm sure this is going to shock you, right? Did a ton of firewood, right? So, like, I'm working on 2021-22 firewood right now. And so that's what I did throughout the whole week, and it's just super exciting vacation, but one that I wanted, that's one I really enjoy. Hey, I really appreciate Matt as he started and kicked off our series, Vision Leaks. I appreciate what he does. He does a great job, doesn't he? I appreciate so much Pastor Matt from our Halstead campus. And he talked about everyone has the next step. Today, I'm going to give you a little bit of a quiz, all right? A little bit of a pop quiz. This is for you guys online as well. A little bit of a pop quiz, and no cheating, okay? So cheating would be if you just turned around and looked in the cafe and looked at the signs that we have posted on the wall. So I don't want to seem to be, I see some stop turning around. We're going to see how you do with our five values. I'm going to ask people online, if you know what our five values are, you can just start listing them in the chat room. We'll see how online does. But how many of our five values do you know? Like, if you could go right in your head as you start doing it, kind of it's on the honor system here, how many of our five values do you know? Do you know any of our values? So I'll give you a little bit of help, okay? Everyone has, okay, that's what Pastor Matt talked about last week. We give. Oh, very impressive. Save people. Found people. And the last one is, I don't remember. I lost where I'm in the list. So I did, we give because found because he found people, find people, save people, serve people. We give because he gave. And everybody has a next step. All right, you guys did great. How'd they do online? Did they do okay? Which one did I forget? Let's close in prayer. God, this is a rebellious bunch. I forgot one of them. Hey, put them up here. I was just testing you. How's that? Okay, everyone has a next step. Life is better, which is funny, because that's what I'm preaching on today. Life is better connected. Save people, serve people. We give because he gave, and found people, find people. I want you to know that if you go to any of our physical campuses, you will see them on the wall. And I'm super happy for what you guys did with those. You guys did a great job with those. But we realize that they're more than just slogans. They're like a barometer to help us understand, are we really accomplishing the mission that God has given us? Are we winning the battle when it comes to making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ? And so today we're going to talk about the one, my favorite one, life is better connected, is what we're going to talk about. If I had a chance to speak to you, each one of you individually, and ask you this question, how would you answer this question? And I do ask people this often. Are you happy? Are you happy? How would you answer that question if we were talking one-on-one? Would you say yes really quickly? Would you say no pretty quickly? Or would you start stumbling and answering that question going, I'm not really sure if I know if I'm happy or not. But if you said to me that you were happy, I'd ask you the question, why are you happy? What makes you happy in life? And if you told me no, why is it that you're so unhappy? Oftentimes we are sold a bill of goods. When we look at our society today, and as we look at advertising on TV and the radio, when we see things that are online, we're being sold this bill of goods basically saying this. If you can buy a certain product, if you can experience a certain kind of service, then you will be happy in life. When you see advertisement, you never see anybody sitting on a tractor, right, looking really unfriendly. They're always like, yeah, especially if it's green, right? It's a great thing. Yeah, no. But you don't ever see somebody who's eating a bucket of chicken, right? They're frowning, like they're like really happy. I know when I've gone to Disney World with my kids, when we walk out at the end of the day, our kids aren't smiling, they're not skipping, they're not holding balloons, and they certainly don't have Mickey Mouse ears on. But they sell you this bill of good that, man, this is how we can find happiness in life. I admit that maybe a new outfit, a new car, more money may bring you satisfaction for a moment, but the reality is down the road is you find out that those things really don't change your life. Those things really don't make you happy. We say things like this, if only I had a new car, if only I had more money, if only I lived in a different neighborhood, then I would be happy. And the reality is this, the older I get, I realize that geography changes really nothing. And if you're unhappy with $20,000 in the bank, probably you're going to be unhappy with $40,000 in the bank. Material things don't change that. But oftentimes, God has given us community to do life together. And happiness has more to do with who than what. Happiness has a lot more to do with who than what. If we can go through our lives and say the if-onlys in life, if only I had this, if only this happened, if only I lived in it, if you have all these if-onlys and you're still unhappy, shouldn't we answer the question or shouldn't we come down with a place and saying this? Maybe I really don't understand what it is that makes me happy. Maybe I don't really understand what brings satisfaction in life. And I want you to know that has a lot more to do with who than what. When I was growing up as a kid, I was always fortunate to hang out with a bunch of kids at all ages, and I was really grateful for really good friends. And we learned at an early stage of life that it's not necessarily what you have. Sometimes it's just who you have in your life. And 30 years ago, I had a friend, and we got together, and it's been over 30 years since I'd seen this friend. And we got together, and we sat in a restaurant, and we just laughed about the stuff we would do. It's not like our families were poor, but we weren't like the families that had everything. And you could find fun with just a rope, a tire, something. We would have so much fun. And we sat around laughing at the things that we would do together. We had a friend in our neighborhood that had a Ford Bronco. Remember the old Ford Broncos where the spare tire was on the back and they had that like racking system on the back? And you could like move the tire back and forth. It's amazing, that little system, you can do a lot with that. And we talked about, do you guys ever go street surfing behind a Ford Bronco, like in a snowstorm? And like we would hang on to that thing and go, and you would hang on to it and they would drag you around the neighborhood and then we would tie ropes. Now kids, don't practice this at home, all right? But we would tie ropes to the back of that Bronco and in the wintertime we'd put skis on and ski around the neighborhood. Or we would take a skateboard in the summertime and anything behind the Bronco was awesome. We'd go to this local little five and dime store and we'd buy Reggie bars. We love the Yankees. And so we'd watch Yankee games together as kids. And we'd buy these Reggie bars and we'd put them on the TV set and we couldn't eat the Reggie bar until he hit a home run. And so we'd sit there and watch this Reggie bar going, come on, Reggie. And we would cheer and like, man, when he hit a home run, you'd eat the Reggie bar. Every time they scored a run, we had to do 10 push-ups. So the Yankees scored if they had a big game. Like, we were working out. And so like, we'd be there and his mother would look at us and go, you guys are just dumb. But really in life, so often, it's more about who than what, right? And so today I really do want to talk about the value that life is better connected. Some of the best times in life are usually associated with who. And that's why our second value has to do with life is better connected. Ecclesiastes says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Those are pretty strong terms, aren't they? I pity someone who doesn't have someone else in their life to be there for them when they need them. You're working on a project and you have no one to call to help you carry the load. When you've fallen down in life, I don't care if it's physically, emotionally, or spiritually, if you don't have someone else in your life to come alongside you, to serve you, to help you, to encourage you, to exhort you, to challenge you, to say, wait a minute, what are you doing? If we don't have those people in life, Solomon, who was the wisest person in life, said this, I pity you if you don't have someone else in your life who's going to come alongside you to encourage you, to help you, to support you. See, we find these words in the Bible. This is like a Jesus thing, right? But I want you to know in human nature, two are better than one. Most people realize that we need other people in our life. It's great to be an island, right? It's great to be by ourselves. We don't need anybody else until you get diagnosed with something, until you lose someone who's very close to you, until you go through a financial crisis in your life. And the list goes on of all the trauma that people go through in life, the trials and adversity. And when you go through those adversities in life, there are people who say, I don't need anybody at all, until they're sitting in the room by themselves and realize there's no one there to support them. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. What's it say again? Let's go through the verses. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. I think God has called us to be together with one another. Hopefully in the context of the church, we are going to talk about small groups this morning a little bit, but also with friends and family, that we have people that are around us. God has never created us to be alone. He's created us for companionship. He's created us for friendship. He's created us to live in community. It's us having people in your life who will ask you the hard questions. When they see you drifting in your life, they walk in and say, help me understand why you're doing what you're doing right now. And you've given them permission to speak into your life because you trust them. Is someone going, man, I'm not so sure you're not getting a little sideways in your attitude, in your approach to life, in your thinking. And sometimes people come in and they help move us in a direction that both brings honor to God and grows us to maturity in Christ. See, people say they don't need other people. It's totally against what God's word talks about. Because he talks about not forsaking us being together. He talks about older women teaching the younger women. He talks about ironing, sharpening iron. Verse after verse after verse tells us we need each other. And when we decide to be islands, we're being foolish. Because we can get sidetracked physically, emotionally, spiritually, in any way, if we don't have someone who will step into our lives and say, whoa, what did you just say? Is that really sound? Is that a good decision? Solomon steps back and says this, I pity the person who doesn't have someone in their life who can encourage them and help them. I think small groups are very valuable. Now, big groups are valuable too, right? I hope you're enjoying today a little bit. Like, you know, hopefully you enjoy this. Big groups are good. But there's something about when we do life in circles and we talk to one another, we can talk through life situations. It's kind of like Cheers, right? You remember I'm dating myself where everyone knows your name. But it goes another level to where it's not just where people know who you are. It's people who know you well enough to have conversations with you. They can pray for you. They can help meet needs. And as you have questions in life, they can step into your life and they can have a conversation with you based upon God's word to help direct you to the path that you need to be on. Guys, I want you to know that life is truly better connected. And the reason we put such a value on small groups at this church is because we believe people need to be connected in community. And so at all levels of our ministry, you will see even in student ministry with Craze and Fusion, they come in, they have a blast, they do all kinds of stuff. They have a teaching time, they do games, but then they break down into small groups. Why? So they can start building community, they have people they can be connected to, and people that can minister to one another, even at a kid's level. Children's ministry, we break down into small groups, and our USS Bridgewater and Voyager. Why? Because we want to create that habit of saying, we need to build relationships. Relationships are extremely important, whether it's for children, whether it's for teens, or whether it's for adults. Small groups are for mature believers, and it's for people who are skeptics. We talk all the time about, man, we are so grateful at this ministry that we have people coming almost every single week at every one of our campuses where you have sitting in chairs closely associated with one another, not in the same rows anymore, but closely associated with one another that are deeply rooted in the Bible. And we have other people who come that are skeptical and they still don't buy in. And I think small groups allow people to come who are mature, but it allows people who have questions And they're able to ask their questions in a safe environment of other people always saying, I don't understand this. I don't get it. One of the great things for mature believers that I've heard all the time is when you get someone in your group that's not a follower of Jesus Christ or they're an immature believer and they start asking questions, it gets everybody like charged up to say, this is so much fun to talk to someone who's on this journey. I remember doing a men's group. This is in my notes, but I remember being in a men's group. I took 10 guys and I started to work with them, and I was out in Ohio. One of the guys was a new believer. I mean, months a new believer. And so we started talking in this group, and in the middle of the group, and pardon me, I'm going to be frank at what he said. We were talking about things and men and morality and all kinds of stuff. And as we were talking about those things, the guy goes, wait a minute. He's a single guy going, are you telling me I'm not supposed to have relations with women before marriage? And I'm going, like, I'm looking around going, okay, what are these guys going to do in this group? I'm like, are they going to like, and they possibly go, man, and they handle, they go, that's a great question. Let's look to God's word and let's see what God's word has to say about it. This guy's a new believer. He had never, ever heard that in his entire life. And I want you to know, you want to get some fired up, you start working with people who are growing in their faith, and it's super exciting as they ask questions and they feel like they're not going to be criticized for it. Our first value is life is better connected. And I want you to know this, life is better connected because you can go farther faster. You can go farther faster. Solomon said, if we want to accomplish more, we need to have someone helping us. Solomon said, if you fall down, man, you can get back on your feet, get moving in the direction that you want to go if someone's with you. We can go farther faster if we are connected to other people. Have you ever witnessed anyone who's gone through a financial difficulty, and as they talk to you, they step back and realize that there's no one there who can help them? Have you ever talked to anyone who's gone through a relationship fail, and as they stand there's no one there who can help them? They feel like they're on their own. It's a lonely world when you feel like there's no one around who can help you when you're in trouble. So let me ask you this question. If you are going through a difficult season of life, you are facing some kind of issue in life, who would you turn to? Who do you have that will be there to help you up in life? When I was doing men's ministry, again, in a different church in Ohio, one of the things that I realized is that as I started talking to men in this group, and we began, I thought, man, it's going to take a while to get these guys to get together and have conversations. We were having this conversation. One of the guys, I asked the guys, why are you in the group? Like, why did you come? It was the first night. And this guy was well-known. He was a college professor. He was on our deacon board. And it was his turn to say, why did you come? He said this. He goes, the reason I'm here is because I realized that when I was growing up, I had all kinds of friends, all kinds of people who were around me. We're always hanging out. And somewhere in the process, I went to college, got married, started having kids. And now my stage, he was in his 40s. He goes, I'm looking around. I'm looking and saying, I don't have anybody. If something happened between me and my wife, I really don't have anyone to call except a professional. I would have to call you as a pastor. And not that it's horrible. He goes, I don't have a friend. I don't have someone that I can reach out to and say this. You're there to help pick me up. So the question is, who do you have that will help pick you up? If something happened, a tragedy happened in your life, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, down in gloom. Who do you have to come alongside you to encourage you? See, it's the person who knows you well enough that walked in and said, are you doing okay? Are you doing okay today? And when you say, yeah, I'm fine, everything's fine, I'm fine. They know better. They go, you're lying to me. It's having those kind of people who are able to look into your life and say, come on, what really is going on in your life? It's the people that when you're not feeling well, they drop a meal, they knock on the door and go, hey, I don't want to bug you, here's a meal. I know you're not feeling well, just want to help you. They're the people that when you're going through some kind of crisis, a loss, they're the ones who will sit at a table and they're not going to try to talk you out of you being in grief. They just listen to your concerns and they weep with you because they got your back. They're the people you can call at 2:00 in the morning and say, I don't know what to do. Who do you have? Are you connected at that level where you have a relationship that if you need something, you can reach out and help them, or they can help you? Solomon goes on in verse 12 and says this, "The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves." This is now talking about someone who is who's being attacked, someone who's being overwhelmed. Do you have someone who steps in and has your back? They're going to defend you. When you feel like you can't defend yourself, you trust them enough to say, hey, wait a minute, whoa. No, you need to leave them alone. When I was in high school, I think I told this story recently, but when I was in high school, I wasn't a big fan. Like, I tease people all the time. So, like, I'm a teaser, I get that. But I don't like people picking on other people, and I never did. So as a senior in high school, I was walking out of school at lunchtime, and I was with my girlfriend, walking out, and all of a sudden I looked over and I see a group of kids surrounding a special needs person and picking on them. And I lost it. Like I'm in the conversation, and I just lost it and took off running. And she's like, hey, and she looked and she goes, where'd you go? And she saw me in a ring of these kids who had this kid surrounded, and I grabbed the biggest one and pushed him and said, you want to pick on somebody, pick on me. And he goes, no. And I looked at the next one and go, do you want to pick on me? He goes, no. And I said, if I ever see you guys doing this again, I'm not going to say what I said because it probably wasn't Christ-like. But listen to me. Who's got your back? Who's got your back when it says that you're being overwhelmed or that you're under attack? Who's going to step in and say, you know what, it's a risk, but man, you're worth the risk. I'm stepping in and I'm going to support you, encourage you, help you, and stand by your side. He goes on and says this, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Batman had Robin. The Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? Who do you have? Who do you have? Solomon says this, I pity the person. I pity the person that doesn't have someone standing next to them doing life together. I pity the person that doesn't have someone who's going to pick you up when you've fallen down emotionally, spiritually, physically. I pity the person that doesn't have someone that as you blend together this, yeah, two are great, but man, three is even better. I want you to know, those who have authentic community surrounding them have a better survival rate than those who don't. I want to say that again. Those who have an authentic community surrounding them have a better survival rate than those who don't. At some point in our life, we have to see the value of having other people, because God talks about it over and over again in Scripture. We have to see the value of having people in our lives when we walk through the trials and adversities of life. Men, we are islands, right? Like, we don't need anybody else, right? We don't need no stinking friends. We're good. So why would God say in His Word, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another? Why? Do we know more than God? I've heard people say, I don't need anybody else. I don't need this stuff. Really? So you know more than God? Awesome. If you're telling me that you know more than God, you're in a dangerous place. See, this value is so simple. Man, this is simple stuff. But how many of you here in this room are living it out day to day, week after week, month after month? Simplicity. This is simplicity. Dude, this is like milk. I want the truth. Give me deep, valuable truth of God's word. Listen to me. If we can't get this right, how much is the other stuff going to help? Life is better connected. Why? Because God says so. If He didn't think so, He would never have created the church. 1st point, we can go farther faster when we're connected. Secondly, life is better connected because there's strength in numbers. I want you to watch this video.
It's an enticing place for a curious baby, but also a dangerous one. Trailing behind is first to see the lions. While he fights, his mother summons the herd. They form a barricade around the baby.
Some of you guys seemed a little tense on that one, didn't you? We had to cut the video short. They got the baby. No, I'm kidding. No, stop it. Stop. No. We can learn a lot from nature, right? And so there are things that you see here. It's interesting when you see this herd, and as the film goes on, it's kind of an interesting film. And basically you see how elephants, how they protect those who are vulnerable. And in numbers, their strength. And so like in nature, the one elephant sounds the alarm, and all the other ones gather around the one that's vulnerable to protect it. Could you imagine? If you lived in a community like that, where when you were in trouble, you were vulnerable, when you fell down, when you were in need of help, people in your community sounded the alarm, and people came around and surrounded you to protect you. Sometimes we see the danger coming, but most times someone else sees the danger coming first. Other people who know you well will go, "What are you doing? Why are you making those decisions? I think you're heading down a bad path." And when someone sees it coming, we're at a place where we can make decisions, hopefully, that will help prevent us from making mistakes. Have you ever seen parents who raise their kids when they're like 3, 4, and 5 years old, and they've already lost control? You kind of see what's coming when they're 13, right? Like, you're going to see what's going to come. Now, we don't have a crystal ball, but there's times when you watch couples interact with one another, you can see something coming. When you see people that are hanging around with maybe not the best crowd, you can see things coming. When you see people making unwise financial decisions, you can see it coming. We don't have a crystal ball, but there's just some basic wisdom that says you're walking down the wrong path. And wouldn't it be awesome if someone knew you well enough and was willing to take the risk to step into your life and say, "Whoa, wait a minute. What are you doing? Why are you making these choices?" When I was a youth pastor, I would see kids make decisions, and they didn't seem like big decisions, but it became a pattern. When they started this, eventually they did this, and in most cases, they ended up here. And so when I saw kids at this level, I would go talk to parents and say, "Hey, I just want you to know, I'm a little concerned. A couple things are going on right now." And most parents would go, "No, not my kid." And then a year later, they come back and go, "We should have listened. I wasn't always right." I'm just saying you could see certain patterns in youth, in students, that says you can see it coming. As they start making these decisions, there's a progression. Eventually, they're going to end up here. Do you have people in your life that see it coming before you do? People who love you so much that they're willing to speak into your life, they're willing to take the step, they have the courage to say, wait a minute, what are you doing? If Christian maturity is the goal, for us to be more like Jesus, then we need people around us to be able to pray for us, to be able to ask us the tough questions, to hopefully guide us, to bring us God's word, to direct us. If Christian maturity is a goal, God has created this thing called the church that we are our brother's keeper and we are here to help one another. Married people need community. Single people need community. Immature believers need community. Immature believers need community. We are all on a journey, and being on an island is a dangerous place to be. Here's what Proverbs 13 says. Walk with wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. I would tell parents when they come talk to me as a youth pastor, they'd be upset when their kids were making bad decisions. It was always somebody else's fault, right? It was never my kid's fault, ever. And I would laugh and go, I wouldn't laugh at them because they'd get mad, but I would look at them and say, you do know, right? Water seeks its own level. And there's a reason these two people are together. When you walk with wise people, you have a tendency to make wise decisions. You have a tendency to be influenced by people who are wise. But when you walk around with people who are foolish in life, whether you're a fool or not, sometimes you get caught up, right, in the stuff that's going on. And sometimes you're included in the life of a fool. Walk with wise and you'll be wise. And you walk with fools and you'll be a fool. So it really does matter what kind of community you're involved in. It does matter who you're connected to. And what I want to do is encourage you today to think through some of the questions I asked earlier about the who and not the what. If you went through a very difficult time financially, relationally, spiritually, emotionally, you lost someone who's close to you, whatever it is, my question is this. Do you have someone that you can go to? Do you have someone that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, I need help? I need your support. I need your encouragement. I just need you to listen. One of the things we want to do today is as we promote our small groups for the fall, is we have small groups set up at the back here, sign-ups. And if you're part of a small group last year and you want to join the same small group, please go back and sign up for them at the end of the service. But also, if you have not been a part of a small group, can I encourage you to at least try it? We're kicking off with a thing called a Restored campaign. We're excited we're doing a series called Restored. And what we want to do is have you guys be a part of that. We're going to talk about it in groups. And there's a bunch of variety of groups back there. And can I encourage you to at least consider being connected? Because when you're connected, you can build deeper friendships. You can experience support of others when you're going through a difficult time. You have people in your life who will see it coming maybe before you do. You have people who will pick you up when maybe you've fallen down. You maybe even have a person in your life that's willing to ask the tough questions. When I talk about living in community and having friendships and being connected, it's kind of like saving for retirement. You know the people who don't start saving for retirement until they're 60-something? And when they need it, it's not there. Over and over again, we find people in life that have never invested at all in building relationships. And when they need it the most, they wonder where everyone is. The longer you wait to invest, it's probably unlikely that it won't be there for you when you need it. So can I encourage you to invest wisely? Invest as soon as possible in building relationships, because we do believe that life is better connected. Father, thank you so much. Simple truth. A truth that we see just scattered throughout your scripture about how as your people, we need one another in so many different ways. And it's not so much what we get from people. It's how you use us to serve others. God, I pray that as we live in community, we will be the people who are willing to give as much as we want to receive. Bring people in our lives this week that may need encouragement, support, help. Allow us to be Jesus in their life as we serve them. But God, thank you. Thank you that you've given us the church, that you've given us one another. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.